You can see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. War after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this show. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bible studies, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Brought to you by the... Brought to you by the Watching for Jesus Network. That's a big change for those of you who've been following me, huh? Be one other network or the other, but this one is ours. Delivered right into the hands. Y'all that know me know the story about that. Quite amazing how God works, isn't it? And for those that know, Elmer Fudd has not left the room. Elmer Fudd came back. That's an inside joke. Anyway, the closer we get to those end times, that's what everybody's talking about now, so I can talk about it. The closer we get to those end times, as they call them, they're trying to make you have more fear than they, because they don't really know. And they don't know because they think their puny efforts of trying to thwart God's plan might just have a chance. Well, my word to them is, it has absolutely no chance. Zero chance of happening. The created can never defeat the Creator. Satan, their leader, Lucifer, literally, the leader of all the governments of this world, literally, inclusive of the American, the President of the United States, and always has been. Putin, Russia, China, Korea, it don't matter. And the ones that's not bloodline, they're little puppets under the Vatican, controlled by the Vatican, every country in this world, are either puppets or bloodline to the Illuminati. Every single one. No exception. So they're either family bloodline at the highest level, depends on the country status, or these little satellite countries, they're appointed, allowed to be a prime minister or president, as long as they're good boys and girls. If they're not, they just take them out. That's how this world really works. 100%. Now, you'll get a leader that starts getting nationalistic, they take them out. Real simple. They vilify them, make up things about them. Like the thing about Iraq, where they were cutting off the incubators, that's all a lie. Killing men, women, and children in Srebrenica, that was another lie. They were killing Muslim extremists that came from Afghanistan that were hardened from fighting the Soviets back then. 10,000, to be exact, that we helped bring over jihad to go against Serbian Orthodox Christians. That was Hitler's plan all along. The idea is not about religion. Get that out of your mind. Religion is used, but it's all political. The religion is only one, Luciferian. And they use other religions to fight each other, to galvanize a revolutionary force based on a religious idea. Depends what it is, what they need. This is how it really works. The Albanians, for example, are lukewarm Muslims. Kind of like, I know some Americans are lukewarm Christians. But Albanians are Muslim because of the Turks, but they're lukewarm. Matter of fact, they were so lukewarm in Kosovo, for example, when I was there 5 years. I lived there. It's my home, actually. So I know. They were so lukewarm, it was very frustrating for the Mataawa, for the Iranian and Saudi religious fanatics that came over there. To get them to be Muslim, they had to pay them to be Muslim. So they found the poor neighbors, Kosovars, and they had no jobs over there, of course, after Wesley Powderpuff Clark tore it down, bombing Kosovo to nothing almost. On an ill-conceived operation by Clinton and Bush, and a whole lot of these fruitcakes. Well, you heard me right. Every one of them. But they used that to galvanize the Kosovars, but when they opened it up for international operations and UNHCR and so forth, the Muslims from Iran and Saudi Arabia pounced upon it, thinking they're going to have a field day with Muslims. Well, they didn't. Matter of fact, I know some Albanians that were in some of the villages said, you come back around here, we'll kill you. And they would have. Oh, you don't mess with Albanians and Serbs. They were dead serious. Some of your best friends can be Albanians and Serbs. They're very nationalistic, but they're very family-oriented. America would learn something, maybe. But anyway, from Albanians and Serbs. But the UN comes in there and stirs up the trouble. Make sure they fight each other. That's the UN's job. To make sure people fight each other. That's what they did in Kosovo. I know that for a fact. So the Muslims were, the hardcore Muslims coming from these other countries were really frustrated. And they stayed out of some of the villages, I know. And the mafia said, you know, Albanian mafia, like, you know, they're work with the United States government. That's how that worked, too. Very close. I know, because I shook hands with Tachi and Ramush Shadanai. I had people follow me around to make sure I didn't say nothing. Javed Aliti and all them. I did, really, and some of the parties they had. I love to poke. Poke, meaning to throw little innuendos in and just see how you get a reaction. Very interesting. Well, I was wondering, after I had briefings outside of normal channels of the mafia in Kosovo, I became very familiar and I had tables of chart organizations and so forth of the mafia in Kosovo. Still got them. That was kind of sneaked to me, from some low-level UN security personnel that wasn't really happy what the UN was doing. So they gave me some, you know, classified stuff. Yeah, they did. And I used it in the meetings. They wondered how I knew what I knew. I didn't tell them that CIVPOL and UN and Carabinieri and Russian intelligence would give me reports and stuff. And I could bring it into meetings of Count Bonsteel and UN meetings and CE meetings and stuff. How's he know that? When you go to shut him up, they couldn't figure it out. Yeah, well, it worked for a while. Family, I hate underhanded garbage, and I hate liars and cheaters and people that use other people. I don't like bullies. I detest them. I can't justify me being a bully to a bully, but I did anyway. I made good friends with Muhammad Chimali. He was a freedom fighter, a very powerful one. One of my security guards that worked for me, Albanian, it was an interpreter, and I became good friends with Muhammad Chimali. He was a real freedom fighter for the Albanians, not the liars like Tachi and Ramush and these guys. They were freedom fighters because they're Albanian mafia, and they worked with the U.S. government, and were very close with Albright. How'd she get that name, Albright? Kind of misnomer. But anyway, we're very close. They were. We wondered how close. But they killed him in 2005 or 6, I think. I left in 2004. They shot him in his driveway. He wouldn't join the mafia and the other turncoats against the Albanian people. They were just in there with the American government, the others. I guess just reflecting back. Well, family, today, this afternoon, I'm going to cover a remaining part of what I've been talking about now for 3 days. I finished the wars, pretty much, on how they actually start the wars, the Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of International Affairs, and all the other international organizations, how they really start all the wars, how they plan the wars. They already know who's going to win. You win the battles, but you lose the war. It's been this way since, 1776 in our country. It's always that way. It's always been that way. People only knew the whole truth. But they don't want to know. People just don't want to know. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Then they complain about a corrupt government. Talk about death education, hopefully today. How they're corrupting the minds of your youth. I would think you might want to know that. I don't know. Would you or not? I'm beginning to wonder these days and times. I have an ambitious program today. Well, I guess it's been ambitious the past 3 days. But nevertheless, I need to dedicate the broadcast, absolutely. And let's get started. Lord, we lift up to you this program, Lord, every day. We pray, our Heavenly Father. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for your holy word and your message that you've given us about the power of our prayer life and our eternity. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we do seek to be a closer relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. We ask that you remove these things in our lives that keep us from you. We ask that our unbelief be removed. And Lord, you help us to resist those things which are taking over our lives that's keeping us from you by spreading the blood of Jesus around us for the demonic attacks and influences. Lord, we seek the power and strength through prayer. We ask you today, Lord, that we may be changed, that you'll touch the hearts of those still sitting on the fence, that, Lord, that you'll give them divine appointments that's going to pull them over and bring them to your side. Lord, you know us all. We seek to know you better. Lord, we wish to hand over our will and replace it with yours, and to do as thy wilt, not as our wilt be done. Lord, we pray for our awakening in this country. We pray for our leaders. We pray against this Wicca. We pray against the Satanist groups in our country. And Lord, we call upon you to tear down their protection with your warring angels. Expose them for who they are. And Lord, to take that Holy Spirit and bind it to their hearts. And for those that may hear the call, although difficult, that Lord, it guides them to your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we call upon you to protect the children. Because Lord, we know they've been targeted. Especially by Satan, to change their minds, their hearts, and to guide them to him. Lord, we call upon you for an awakening, that the parents will wake up, that those within the schools will go against their protocols. And those in the military will see the military leaders at the highest level for who they really are. And the political leaders, Father, to expose them for those who's involved in secret societies. Lord, we need truth to come out. That's why we pray, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to give you some details today, as I have been all week. It's not a history lesson, necessarily. I mean, it ends up being one, but this history that we've been talking about equals the future. It, in other words, it's carried down through the generations by family rituals, family tradition. It doesn't just stop in 1901, doesn't stop in 1945 or whatever. It's carried down for each generation. In other words, for example, in the 1860s, the Romanov family torpedoed the plans of Rothschild at the Congress of Vienna. Boy, that ticked them off bad. 1860s. And they swore blood vengeance against the Romanov family, the Tsar of Russia. They knew it might take a while. It did, about 40 or 50 years. But that's okay. They waited. Family, they planned three world wars for the 20th century by 1871. You heard me, right? That's a fact. It's not based on just one letter of Albert Pike to Manzini. that letter just sets it up. But then you look at all the other factors. I'm just going to go on there because I read this in some novel. You take the one letter, the notion of the letter, of describing the three world wars by Albert Pike, that planned them out in 1871. And you say, well, boy, that's kind of strange. You don't take that one letter and make a statement. You look for other corroborating evidence. And boy, it's there. No doubt about it. We've never been free. Ever. Made to look like it. Yes. Been free? No. We've been under a debt slave ever since this country has ever... this colony has ever been. It's always been this way. Now, the judges and lawyers and all these legal guys, they've known this. But they have something called a blood oath that they don't reveal to the public. And if they were to reveal what they knew about the public, to the public what they knew about a political system, they wouldn't have a job anymore. Because the lawyers depend on us thinking we're actually a constitution, have a republic. We got amendments and all this stuff. We don't. It's nothing but it's paper. That's fact. You see, they got us believing otherwise. Always have. It's in the history books. Then they stopped teaching history. Because they didn't want us to know anything more about it. To change the thinking of our children. Starting with the children of the baby boomers. It's been carefully plotted, planned, exercised, generations ahead. Now, see, I'm now getting to the area where some of you don't want to hear it anymore. So you'll go somewhere else where you feel comfortable hearing it. Or you want to hear about, what's this thing? Oh, the torture stuff. Oh, yeah, all right. What a joke. Did they torture? Yeah. They tortured. That's standard procedure. Been doing it since Vietnam and World War II and World War I, and they've always been doing it. Military psychologists and social engineers and so forth, working with CIA and what have you, they've always done it. So why are they releasing this report now? Torture report. Everybody's getting into that, see? Everybody's getting into it. Oh, we got them now. Where do you think it came from? Where do you think? You think somebody just lost control of it? Now, sometimes they do, granted. Iron Mountain report. Several other reports like I think another one that got out, was supposed to have gotten out was, I haven't memorized the name of this darn thing yet. I keep everything in handy. Like the Pentagon Papers, they got that out. And the development and legal regulation of coercive behavior modification techniques with offenders by Dr. Ralph Schwetzbell. That's the prototype of your Mark of the Beast. That's pretty important. How that tattoo, the Vera chip, controls your thinking, controls your body. Well, the prototype goes back to 1971. I got the report. They just stuck that out. But you notice you don't hear about these things much on the news. But this is one of the things they want you to know about. They do. Snow job, Assange, and what's another fruitcake? You got Snow job, Snowden, Assange, and there's the other one that turned to be transgender. He's another so-called whistleblower. I can't think of his name right now. He's in prison. Can't think of his name. Anyway. The snow job, he's CIA. CIA and SA, whatever. He works for them. They allowed him to come out. They allowed him to speak. He wanted him to. Make it look like he's a truth teller. He's going to tell you what they want you to hear. And Osage, exactly the same thing. They'll tell you what the CIA and the government want you to hear. They want you to know that the government is worthless. Now, you're probably confused by that, right? Well, I got it documented in their own planning process that they're to, when the time is right, they're going to expose all the governments as worthless. So they want the information to come out. They want people to march against the government, governments, and that includes the United States, and to go against the government, go against the school system that's no longer trusted, go against the police system, no longer trusted, by design. So those on the inside, school teachers that are bought and sold and paid for by the Illuminati and Freemasons, Eastern Stars, that are slaves to their blood oath, you know those, to go after your children, to give them reason to write it down. For the police that's infiltrated into the police departments that are former felons or secret society members to beat somebody up, to tase them to death, to choke them out, have reported, and then the outsiders, the socialists, will form up these marches, already ready to go, play cards already made up, and that's how they manufacture a military coup or manufacture the people to rebel. They got to pay them, just like in Kosovo. Pay people to be a Muslim. Well, here they pay them to march. They train them. They go to little coliseums. They go to certain places that you don't know, and they practice. You have police. You have police dressed as civilians inside these marchers. They're the ones throwing the rocks. Vancouver and Toronto, they found some of them within some marches that were really good, if you want to call them that. There were police inside throwing things at the cops. Cops throwing things at cops. And they did the right thing. They corralled them to the point that they scared the diggers out of them, and they had to pull them out of the group and go back to their police roots with their tail tucked underneath because they got caught. This is how it really works. In an investigation, 1924 to 1927, in Canada, they were investigating the Canadian investigations, Canadian Customs and Excise Service, for ramifications of illegal trafficking trade, and it was done throughout the Dominion. And a member of the Parliament for Vancouver, he was appointed, H.H. Stevens, was appointed the Royal Commission to investigate corruption within the Canadian government. But it also proved, subsequent to this investigation, that even in Canada, the communists were in control, as they are today, as they are in the United States today also. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to give you all the evidence that they found. But just the evidence that I want to focus on is what's taking place today. Because they found an actual conspiracy, even then, to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. They found evidence of that. It was put on the rug. It coincided with the North American Union and NAFTA Treaty. Later on, what popped up as a result of it. Well, one piece of the evidence they found is that they allowed just enough evidence to appear in the public, free press, in this grand conspiracy was their plans, where they found a documentation how they were going to do it. Now, we'll give you most of it. Evidence they found in this investigation that we're going through today, you understand, that one, they seriously affected the national economics by robbing the National Treasury Departments of hundreds of millions of dollars. Number two, they corrupted government officials to the highest level and obtained control of the two main parties. That's what they've done in America, too. And what they did was they established a new society where the wealthiest members made their money by illegal methods, and by doing so, they were forever beholden to those who made the successful operations possible. So the majority of these newly rich kids and newly rich investors, newly rich CEOs or whatever, can't help but carry out the request of those who made them rich, because those who made them millionaires almost overnight can also reduce them to poverty just as quickly if they so much as even hesitate to do their bidding. In other cases, you might have five of them die in a private plane crash. Yeah. They obtained such control of high-level government officials that they had to adopt a policy regarding international security, which permitted the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect the revolutionary plans. Now listen, and await the day when the international conspirators give the order to revolt. It's going to be in a day. One 24-hour period. They got to get all their ducks in a row. The population must be steered in a certain direction and path, tested to see if they're ready to go to the next level. America, you're being tested now. It's all about the race. And I'm not talking about the Southern 500, neither. Everything is about black and white. We're pushing it in your face, and you black extremists and you white extremists are falling for your own destruction. This is the socialist agenda. In your face, every single day. It always has been, since May the 1st, 1776. That's exactly correct. The socialists of that era, of that bloodline, brought you the Declaration of Independence. That's exactly where it came from. I have this documented in their own textbook, Signs of Christ by Harold Belias. It's based on the notion, it's based on the strategy of using liberty as a method of galvanizing the targeted population. It goes along with Tyler's eight plans from democracy to dictatorship. It's about a 250-year process. They plan ahead. This is reality. Oh, challenge it if you want to. Please don't believe me, but challenge it. Please do. I'd love that. This is a fact. They brought you the Declaration of Independence. They wanted you to have the Declaration of Independence. Just like they planned for the blacks, the Emancipation Proclamation brought in by Illuminati, Abraham Lincoln, who then went against them, and that got him killed. You see, that's what I was talking about a little while ago. Sometimes they lose their leaders. They lose their puppets. They lost Lincoln. They lost McKinley. They lost JFK. They had to kill him. Now that's it down and dirty. They had what's called a racial avatar that's channeled by the fallen angels. I have this document for real. This is real life. Quote, a racial avatar. These appearances are evoked by the genius and destiny of a race. The typical man in quality and consciousness, not necessarily physically, foreshadows the nature of some race. Such a man was Abraham Lincoln, coming forth from the very soul of a people, introducing and transmitting racial quality, a quality to be worked out later as the race unfolds. Race unfolds. Where does blacks belong? Africa. Where do whites belong? Where do we belong, white folk? We belong in Europe. Where do the Chinese people, Oriental people belong? In the West. East. Where the Indians and Middle Easterners belong? America and the Middle Eastern area. That at one time, the whole earth was connected. Till God separated and divided the land. 10 generations after Nimrod. Changed the languages. It changed the DNA structure. Over a period of time. Or God did it instantly at the Tower of Babel. God can do that. One way or the other. So he put us all in race groups in different places on the earth. By design. So we wouldn't plot against him, which is what went on back in the Tower of Babel, you see. So he changed the languages, divided the peoples. The physical structure then changed. And we're supposed to live in certain areas, still get along with each other. But our race is supposed to be America. White Americans, you're supposed to be in Europe. But we left Europe, our ancestors, right? Why? Why did our ancestors leave Europe? Why did the white folk in Europe leave in a hurry? Because Columbus, another avatar, that's right, he's of the bloodline. And the Illuminati, oh Columbus, he's not a good guy. He opened it up. Why would people leave Europe? Where you're comfortable. You're living there. Your ancestors are there. You wouldn't leave there as a people unless you had a reason to. You had a darn good reason to. Because by 1200 AD, the Vatican is murdering people. They started what's called the Inquisition, and that was the purpose of the Inquisition. All they used religious reasoning and all that. That was just a lie. That was to justify their murder and their robbery, playing God. So from 1200, 1300, 1400, 300 years of mass murder by the Vatican, 25 to 30 million people murdered by the Vatican and their property stolen from them. That's slavery. That is abominable. So by the cultures, your ancestors being murdered by these Vatican priests and monks and whatever else they call them, I think it's time to move, don't you? We want something better. Well, they opened up the floodgates. That's what Columbus was all about. It wasn't some brave man trying to find a way. It was the opening to bring a diverse cultures into America, which was to be the melting pot of the new Atlantis. The Indians were here first. But now we're here. Well, now you got two cultures. You got the Indian culture. You have the white culture. And by 1613, it's time to bring in the blacks. Under austere conditions called slavery. Your ancestors enslaved another culture. just like the Vatican enslaved the white folk. But worse, because you put slaves of the blacks in shackles, murder, rape, DNA manipulation, genetic research in America. Began in 1613. And by 1711, they brought an expert from one of the islands called Willie Lynch to train the slave owners in the so-called Bible Belt on how to make a better slave. He's an expert. He's a black guy, too. The Rothschilds contracted him. Look up the Willie Lynch letter. It's not a hoax. What you white folk didn't realize, they used the same principles against all Americans, and you didn't even know it. But they enslaved another culture. So the white folks were enslaved by murder and religious intolerance, moved, what they wanted, had to chase them out, give them a reason to leave, and that was the exact reason why. And the second group was brought in by the white folk as slaves and led them West Indies. Yeah, West Indies came from West Indies. Willie Lynch, West Indies. And brought in the next culture, black, and then enslaved them over a couple centuries. Well, actually, not that long. 1711, 1860, they figured about time. That's what the Emancipation Proclamation is all about. For the white folk, the Declaration of Independence. It's all the same. Same purpose, same people, same reason. A little slant to it, and the Freemasons are behind it. Oh, yeah. Then it was like, come one, come all. Into this trap called the United States. So you got to make it look good. You got gold in California. You got diamonds in Arkansas, Arizona, I don't know, wherever. You got diamonds, oil, salt, all kinds of resources in America for witchcraft. All kinds of things. Come on over, y'all. From all countries. That's exactly what happened. Because their plan, listen, their plan began in the year 1400. They've accomplished their goal as reported in National Geographic, October 2013. Look it up right now. The Changing Face of America. To make a diverse country to a diverse culture and then show you, make the races fight each other so you get tired of fighting and want to come together, but under the New World Order. Family, this plan has been going on now, good gosh, since the 10th century. That's some long-range planning. That's amazing. And this is documented. You got to put things together like a jigsaw puzzle, but the same names keep popping up. So we are led to believe our Declaration of Independence was to fight, get for freedom, and all that. No. It was to get us over here, subjugate you, and then get you to go for freedom and control it, both sides. You fight a war to set up a debt. That's what wars are for. Boy, that leaves all kinds of implications, don't it? When I tell you the raw truth, I'm telling you the raw truth. Let's take the Albanians, for example. Albanians, they've been kind of a nomadic type of people. Kind of looking for a country long, long time ago. I'm not going to go into details of Fashari and all the way back. I ain't going into all that. So their need was to have a country they could call their own. Well, the Vatican knew this. The Illuminati knew this. So Hitler came up with, sorry, actually before that, actually, but they came up with a galvanizing call for arms called Bale Komtar. That galvanized the Albanians. Gave them something to shoot for. It gave them a carrot. It gave them a chance for them to have a country of their own. To be a people of standing, etc. Oh, the planning goes back way before that. The Turks and all, it just goes way back. Family, this is long-term planning. If you learn all the aspects of this conspiracy, it is absolutely fascinating. But don't get caught up in the fascination like I did at the beginning. Because, family, this is Satan's way of controlling this world for now. To quantify it more closely, you put the culture in bondage. Step number one. Step number two, you give them a movement. You give them a faith. You make up a religion. You do something, a movement, a religion, something to galvanize them, to bring them together. Step number two. Step number three, step number three is to bondage, a movement, and give them freedom. And they get courage. That's step number three. There you go. Courage. So when they've been involved in some kind of bondage, you give them a movement to galvanize them. That gives them courage. And step number four is they have freedom. And the freedom comes in a Declaration of Independence, Emancipation Proclamation, some way that they have freedom. Those four steps takes about a century. They can accelerate those steps by using Hegelian dialectic, or instance, situations, wars, assassinations, something to change the culture very quickly and escalate these four steps. This has really done. But once they got their freedom, the next four steps is they have an abundance of what they didn't have before. And you make sure they have an abundance of food, clothing, shelter, education, opportunity, everything. Abundance of what you didn't have before, you got now. But you control it. Because what it does, it leads that culture, and you test it out, to become selfish. Because you remember your days of slavery, days of bondage. So now you get what you want. Abundance. Then you get selfish about it. When you get selfish, you get apathetic. When you get apathetic, the government steps in with programs that's going to put you in dependence. Food stamps, Social Security. You got it now? All that. And when you got an abundance, you get selfish, you get apathetic, you get dependent. When you're dependent, you go right into a dictatorship. Now, I did that off the top of my head. That's why I was hesitating, because I usually have something in front of me, but that's how they do it. Family, this is a formula. This is not me just sitting back and reading what happens over a period of time, and people did an analysis after civilizations were born and died and reborn again and all that. No. This is done before. This is set up before. And they put them through this by design. It's like writing history ahead of time. That's why we have. That's why they brought in Declaration of Independence. Like a charter. And before all that was the Magna Carta. All that was based on what the Illuminati set up before they came to the culture. Now, it's the same socialist ideas. But I've given you exactly what it is. By these royal families. Illuminati. So now what they do to take it down so they can control it, a culture, and this plan of this royal investigation I was telling you about a little while ago, that they allow enough evidence to hit the public in the takedown part, and that's where we are today. We're in the last stage. Allow enough evidence to appear in the public, free press, to disgust the public. To make the government look disgusting. See, first you build up the government, and then when it's time to take it down, you let enough evidence come out to turn you against the government. Hey, Freemasons, and they'll even backstab you to do that. You're under a blood oath, aren't you? You're slaves, man. You're not free. You can't go nowhere out of your blood oath. That you gave God a blood oath to lie, cheat, and steal. And you can't get out of it unless you renounce it. They got you, man. Don't talk to me about freedom. You're bought out, line and sinker. So they'll let enough evidence come out of free public to disgust the public. So it gives the public, listen, it gives the public the feeling that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change must be for the best. And guess what that change is going to be? The New World Order. And you'll love it too. Oh, you'll want it. Except you won't realize until after it's too late that Lucifer is behind it. That's why the Pope is trying to get the religions on the same side. That's why they're showing, why they're having riots in other countries as well. That's why they're bringing out Ferguson and this silly, ridiculous, when they come out, I can't breathe t-shirts. Did they choke him out? Probably. Remember I told you the cops here bought and paid for. Freemasons are told, and they would kill somebody to do this. Oh, there's no doubt about that. So they make it up, put it in a breast, give him a new name, send him off somewhere, or they really killed him. Either way, it serves a purpose. Then they come out with t-shirts. Football players, the NFL, come out raising their hands. Ferguson. All this is part of the play. It's part of the game. I find it disgusting on both sides. I think it's silly. One preacher, one priest or whatever he was, he said, Jesus can't breathe. He says, oh, can't breathe is reference to the choking out. They got t-shirts. I can't breathe. Oh, gosh. All this is socialist. Socialism at its best. Every article comes out, white this, kill black that. Or white this, close down black that. All the headlines are to maneuver, manipulate your thinking. And the FBI and their insiders, undercover, work the KKK, work the Black Panthers, working together, trying to get them to fight each other. Then the other side, white on white, cracker on cracker, you got the patriotic part of it. We live in a tyrannical government. We want our country back, constitution, blah, blah, blah. And you FEMA guys, you federal guys, those are white folk too. And they're former veterans too. What are you talking about here? When are y'all going to wake up? You see? So they find what's needed for that culture, for that group, for that race, and they cause them to fight each other, falling for it every single doggone time. Same thing in Kosovo. You had the Albanians, white. You had the Serbs, white. How do you fight them each other? Through political manipulation and bondage and war caused by political reasons. To galvanize the Albanians was Islam, but not really. It wouldn't work. So they had to do a political maneuvering. Finally, this is so intricate, it's hard to... Okay, so they let enough evidence come out, Snowden, Assange, all right, torture report, all that. That's what I'm talking about. Just enough evidence comes out in the public free press to disgust the public, and it's working. It's working. It gives the public the feeling that our governments are so rotten, any change has got to be for the best. But the news reports in this investigation report, the news reports did not disclose any connection between the international capitalist Illuminati, who organized a gigantic conspiracy, and the subversives, that your intelligence agencies, mafia, terrorists, whatever, in the underworld, who put their plans into effect. Working like a charm. Wouldn't you say? So they want you to fight each other, so you somehow say, can't we just get along? I got a bag of marshmallows, let's make us a campfire. Let's just get along now. I'm tired of fighting y'all. We are too. Let's hug up. And they say, okay. They come under our new world order. They got to crash the market too. They got to crash that market. Come up with a new financial system. It's called the Mark of the Beast. Family, we're close to something happening. I don't go on predicting. I don't get into all that. There was a lecture given back in between 1873 and 1901 relative to this investigation. In Canada, back in 1924 time frame, another source I found. I don't just go with one source. And I go into a source not believing a word they say. You see? And so I found another source relative to this lecture that was given by the Illuminati members to certain elite groups that I found documented in Satan, Prince of This World by William G. Carr. And in that, I'm queuing it up right now. That's why I'm hesitating. In that lecture, specifically that point, it said the following. I won't read you all of it, but I just read part of it. Chapter 15, quote, tells what's going to happen of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Chapter 15 tells what's going to happen to all lesser beings, comma, Masons, comma, Jews, comma, Christians, comma, etc. Now listen, when we, the high priest of the Luciferian creed, at last definitely come into our kingdom by aid of a coup d'etat, prepared everywhere for one and the same day. There it is again. After the worthlessness of all existing forms of government has been definitely acknowledged. There it is again. They're going to target Masons after that day happens. Masons, you will be targeted by the own very people you're working for. That's a promise and a guarantee. They will not need you any longer. Now, you sort of got the idea how deep this goes. So they prepare the generations ahead to accept every stage. They just don't wait the last minute. They'll prepare a whole generation for the next generation to be the one they'll use. Now let me give you something to more specifics. I've been talking generalities with some specifics. Now let me give you exact specifics on how socialists achieve their goals. And we're talking about our government is a socialist government. It always has been, behind closed doors. Oh, I know, the old chest spreads out and you all get all puffed up. And how dare you say, you want the evidence? I can give it to you. So please, move on. I have to deal in reality. I don't do anything else. I'm going to give you another dose of it. These socialists that's working the world governments, plural, if you noticed, they're not hindered by national boundaries. In other words, your so-called Joint Chief of Staff, generals, that brief the Council of Foreign Relations, they forgot that they were lieutenants and ensigns at one time. They've turned their back on America. Their back is forward. Their back is back, yeah, but their chest is forward, looking forward to the secret societies and their involvement with their secret societies. The Vatican, the monarchy, the world government is way beyond their so-called patriotic fervor. They've lost it. They sold their soul to the devil. They pretend to be like Boykin, like Wesley Clark, these guys. They're not part of you anymore. They lost it the day they became Knights of Malta. They turned their back on you. They turned their back on all the dead veterans in Arlington. They belong to secret societies. They're no longer American or Brit or whatever. This is how it really works. But these socialists, they're all damn socialists, sorry. Just makes me mad. But they're not hindered by national boundaries. You see, no money-making opportunity escapes their grasp at all. Let no crisis go unused. It can also combine money-making to control it with increased control or elimination of the middle class, so much the better. And they have achieved that. Now, to show where it began, let's look at some inroads of socialism and what they made since the Bolshevik Revolution that Wall Street funded. So while we're funding the Bolshevik Revolution in America, the government sent them 1,200 Marines to fight the Bolsheviks in kind of a show of force. At the same time, supporting the Bolsheviks. So an elite group of men and women manipulate people and events to their advantage. And this immoral behavior had been occurring, certainly, at least the early 20th century. Now we know it's even before that. Lincoln blames the Civil War on the Jesuits. So the globalists determined that they'd support the Bolsheviks. When I say globalist, I'm talking American, Brits, all those and what I'm talking about all along, Illuminati, both America and Europe. So these globalists determined that they would support the Bolsheviks over and above the desire of the Russian people. Now remember when I said that the Rothschilds was going to take out the Tsar of Russia after he torpedoed the Congress of Vienna in 1860s. And how you control people, you come up with a movement, a religion, to galvanize the people. Well, there you go. Made to order. The Bolsheviks. Was that method? It always works. Every time. Targeting the Jews began in 1885. To be used in the early part of the 20th century. Man, they plan ahead exactly in detail. Now, I'm trying to simplify a very, very complex operation here in a short period of time. You understand that that's a challenge. A severe challenge. To show you how it really works. Now, one second. So, here's how they do it. The globalists we're talking about, America and Europe, determined that they would support the Bolsheviks over and above the desire of the Russian people. The people wanted the Tsar to remain their ruler. The history books are written to say otherwise. History books lie. Our history books are worthless garbage. Now, the problem, me telling you this, it serves their purpose. Some would destroy their purpose. Me telling you the truth here is what they want me to do, as everybody else doing this. So they'll reduce the sovereignty, you'll start to lose respect for your country, and so forth. See, they're doing the same thing that I'm doing right now. Now, it is the truth, so they're telling you the truth right now. But here's the problem. They want you to have that reduction of sovereignty, and even said by FDR, to infest America with all the aliens possible. To infest America with all the aliens possible, he said in 1939. March 4th. You have aliens from another country. They don't have the patriotism you have. That's the way it works in any country. And that's why FDR was under the direction and the effort of bringing aliens into America. That was the purpose of the Liberty, Statue of Liberty, of showing how America is prospering. To bring everybody over. Y'all come over now. Come on. That's the reason why. Boy, throws a wrench in a lot of things, don't it? But I have that documented. To infest America with all the aliens possible. He wanted to declare martial law. Dictatorship. That's FDR. So it's not just Obama. Man, this goes back to every president. That's why we'll make the southwest borderline open. They always have. So the Chinese, Islams, coming from South America, that's how they come in. The Panama Canal, Guatemala, Nicaragua, through the poorest line. They destroyed Detroit on purpose 30 years ago to make it a safe haven for Islam. Dearborn and Detroit. That's why you have a very large contingent, a very large settlement of Muslims there, because it was made for that reason. It was made for that reason, to tear down the industry, send it overseas, to kill off the middle class in that area, and to make it a safe haven for Islamic fundamentalism. That was the purpose. You got that? Long time ago. So much so that Carter signed that treaty in 1977 for America to pull out, giving it back to Panama, knowing very well and working with the Chinese that they'd take over at a certain time when we pulled out. So the Chinese could move up through Guatemala, Mexico, and build bases in Mexico in preparation for takeover America, as our country leader helped them. That's what Bob Clinton did. Let them come in Long Beach Naval Base. Look up China Gate. There you go. You see how that works? Oh, yeah. But back to the Russia part, that's how they did to them. The people wanted the Tsar to remain the ruler. That's definitely a different picture painted in our ridiculous and garbage school books and textbooks and via the media. So as always, they used us as a scapegoat very easily because we wanted it anyway. That American money was provided the funding necessary for the beginning of one of the most despotic governments of all history. We did it. As a matter of fact, I got evidence for you. In U.S. News and World Report. Keep in mind, they have to tell you the truth before they do it. You just got to find it. Quote, U.S. News World Report, 32. You'll find it March the 13th, 1967 issue on page 67. In U.S. News World Report, 1967 said, and I quote, "The government of Alexander Kerensky as interim government between Tsar and Lenin received support privately from industry in America. It was hinted that this financial support came from the same Americans and American banks that supported Lenin in 1905. See, the reason for these large cash gifts to the Bolshevik cause is very simple, actually. Rockefeller's Standard Oil Company. They saw an international competitor surface, so they believed. So the source of all the oil, in comes Kosovo and Macedonia, was the Baku oil fields. The Baku oil fields, BAKU, the Caspian Sea in Russia. So the Russian Tsar, Nicholas II, he invited the European Partnership of Rothschild and Nobel, Nobel Peace Prize, a dime a dozen. They give it to their Illuminati puppets. They invited the European Partnership of Rothschild and Nobel and to develop the oil fields. You know, they went even so far as to construct a railroad for this use. So, a Bolshevik revolution, a Bolshevik victory, financed by American bankers, it guaranteed preferential treatment for John D. Rockefeller and world domination for the oil business. It didn't stop there. In America, the Mattawan Massacre, Colorado iron in Colorado. Men, women, children were murdered by the Rockefellers who hired a detective agency to control the coal industries. That's where they come up with a union to control the people under the guise of protecting them. The unions are controlled by the mafia. That's how it really works. So then, after this particular Bolshevik victory that we funded, that began the Russian Reign of Terror, financed, supported by Americans drunk from the riches of black oil and gold. Black gold. So, they were content with controlling only the socialist regime. These power brokers and need that final feather in the cap. That would be the socialization of the United States. A process that was begun to subvert this country over time. And now I've told you how. And the conspirators' plans call for systematic destruction of the American government. And the only way to accomplish such a far-reaching goal was to first own the philosophies of the colleges, seminaries, newspapers, television stations, and other media. Now, if you want an eye-opening, heart-stopping look at success, I've been telling you about that throughout my broadcast. They used Council of Foreign Relations to control the all areas of our lives here in America, right under our very noses. And if you really want to know, look at the Council of Foreign Relations roles and see how many college presidents are part of the Council of Foreign Relations. How many newscasters? They got them listed there. They're just hoping that you don't find out who they really are. Now, if you got the stomach for it, notice that almost every president since Roosevelt has been a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Cheney was a member. He hid it from his constituents in Wisconsin, and they laugh about it, as I covered it yesterday. You heard him actually say it. Now you know, have a little more appreciation, in a way of speaking, of this quote. See, I just don't do one operation. I go through many different ways of confirming my information. Now you'll get this, see. In 1944, Norman Mattoon Thomas. You see where it fits? He said 1944. He was a Socialist Party candidate for president of the United States. He said, and I quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." He went on to say, "I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate, Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform." And my regular listeners, as I've said many times, you've heard me say it, and I have to say it again, the Republican Party is no better. Matter of fact, it's almost worse. Because Republican Party are there to help plan the wars that helps kill our young boys and girls in wars that's pre-planned decades and centuries ahead. Republican Party working on the warmongering. Democrat Party working on the socialism to put you under bondage. Using what? Liberalism, right? That's what he said. Well, guess what I found? I told you I don't stop one place. Or two or three. I went to the protocols and learned out the design. And I found an Article 9, paragraph 9, it says this, quote, "In order not to annihilate the institutions of the Goyim," that's us, we're Goyim, "before its time, we have touched them with craft, have taken hold of the ends of the springs which move their mechanism. And these springs lay in a strict but just sense of order. We have replaced them by the chaotic license of liberalism. We've got our hands in the administration of the law, in the conduct of elections, in the press, in the liberty of the person, but principally into education and training as being the cornerstone of a free existence. That's how the world really works. You don't like it? I'm sorry. But that's how it is. So, you Freemasons out there, you judges and lawyers and policemen and whatever, you're working for a despotic government of secret societies. You get rid of secret societies, you renounce the blood oath, get out of there, now there you go, step in the right direction. But you know, it's a supernatural war we got. And I just thought, right now, that now's the time to tell you the answer. And I bet you there's a bunch of you out there that know the answer. And the answer is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I just thought of that just now. And I bet you there's a bunch of y'all thought that just now. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, shall humble themselves, and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And if you don't do that, you forget America. That's the only way. Now, I'm going to continue here with this part. I think that I will get through this. I'm getting ready to tell you. I'll move into death education, and the rest of death education will be tomorrow. But we'll see how far we get. We've got time. You know, for most of the years, since 1940s, liberal politicians have controlled the Congress and presidency. Conspirators have plans for your future as well. You know, George Bernard Shaw, he summed up those plans quite nicely when he said, I quote, "I also made it quite clear that socialism means equality of income or nothing. And under socialism, you would not be allowed to be poor. You'd be forcibly fed, clothed, lodged, taught, and employed, whether you like it or not. If it were discovered that you had not the character and industry enough to be worth all this trouble, you might be executed in a kindly manner, but whilst you were permitted to live, you would have lived well," unquote, George Bernard Shaw. So there you have it. These socialist power brokers are well entrenched in our government, and European government, and every government. But us, particularly in America here, they'll decide what health plan you're going to use. That's happening. What doctor you're going to see, and what you eat, what you wear, what you learn, and where you live and where you work. And one other point of history I want to make. We involved, for example, elevating Fidel Castro to power. 7 years he was a Jesuit. 7 years he's a Catholic Jesuit. Billy Graham's a Catholic Jesuit and 33rd degree Freemason. You heard me right. Both of them are Freemasons. Both of them are Jesuits. That's fact. Billy Graham was financed by the Rockefellers and Randolph Hearst in 1949, 1950. You heard me right. He funded them under the Laura Spelman Memorial Fund. Anyway, they elevated Fidel Castro, these guys did, the same way as Trotsky, Lenin, and Stalin, without U.S. money, U.S. protection. And our direction came from the Vatican. Cuba would not exist as a communist nation. The American ambassador to Cuba during the communist revolution over Baptista, Earl Smith, he said, and I quote, "To the contrary, Castro could not have seized power in Cuba without the aid of the United States. American government agencies and the United States press played a major role in bringing Castro to power. As a U.S. ambassador to Cuba during the Castro communist revolution of 1957 and 1959, I had first-hand knowledge of the facts which brought about the rise of Fidel Castro," unquote, Ambassador Earl Smith. "I know for a fact in Kosovo that American group of retired military personnel, advisors that the CIA uses called MPRI out of Virginia, I know for an absolute fact that they had a group, 17 of them, working with the Albanian National Liberation Army in Macedonia. I know for a fact at the same time that a group of MPRI working with the Macedonian forces. I know for a fact one night when the Macedonian forces were closing in on the Albanian NLA that the group with the NLA, Albanian revolutionaries, called into Camp Bonstil in Kosovo and said, we need help. We need to get out of here. So they sent Apache helicopters to pick up the 17 American MPRI advisors, take them away from the Albanians, take them back to Bonstil, left the Albanians alone, the revolutionaries, while the Macedonian forces closed in on them. It also aided by MPRI, advised. Alas, no problem. They just put them on school buses, sent them back to Kosovo, and let them loose. Ha! How about that? I got the report. That's one of the reports I brought back with me. Ha! Yeah. So there you have it. You know, even the Cuban Missile Crisis couldn't undo stronghold and communist power. You know, according to both President Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, they could not find no basis, in fact, for CIA's contention that there were missiles in Cuba. Robert Kennedy said, and I quote, "The CIA made a formal presentation to those in attendance, White House meeting on Cuban Missile Crisis, by showing them photographs taken at various missile sites in Cuba." Robert Kennedy later wrote a book entitled 13 Days, in which he commented on those pictures. He wrote, quote, "I, for one, had to take their word for it. I examined the pictures carefully, and what I saw appeared to be no more than the clearing of a field for a farm or the basement of a house. I'm relieved to hear later that this was the same reaction of virtually everyone at the meeting, including President Kennedy." So, you know, we, in the United States, negotiated with the Russians to remove U.S. missiles from Turkey, and they were aimed at Soviet Union, if they would remove their missiles from Cuba. So obviously, if no Soviet missiles existed in Cuba, there'd be no bargaining chip that they're going to use for removal of U.S. missiles from Turkey. So it became necessary to create a crisis in Cuba based on alleged Soviet missiles on the island. That didn't fool everybody, though. One of the Americans who felt that the American government had actually created the Castro movement, later imposed the Castro government down upon the Cuban people, was President John F. Kennedy. And according to the New York Times of December 11th, 1963, was printed interview after he was killed, came after his death, President Kennedy gave an interview. He is quoted as saying, I quote, "I think we've spawned, constructed, and entirely fabricated, without knowing it, the Castro movement." So President Kennedy, who figured it out, was assassinated about 3 weeks before the Times printed that article. Now, this all goes along in the Socius program is death education of your children. While you're asleep at night. And they're going to do it while you're not watching. They're going to sneak up on your kids. And I've talked about this before. How they do it. Remember I told you that the Sandy Hook was a false flag. Now they're coming out and telling you it was. It was. It's a false flag. To justify using a dialectic to put in law enforcement or security in your schools. They control the shooters and they put the security there. They control the security. But it's not to protect your children from the terrorist. It's to protect the school from the parents. Because they know when they start teaching things you child don't need to hear. You're going to have parents coming to the school want to take their kids out of school. School is private property. International rights of the child, the private property, you won't be able to touch that kid. So when your kid texts you that they're being taught this, that, and the other, and some are getting vaccinated, or whatever else is going on, you want to leave your work, or leave your house, to go pick up your kid, you can't go to the school. I warned you all about this. I've been telling people all along. I'm going to play something for you. It just came out recently. Published December the 10th. That's yesterday. In 2014.
Parents, bet this wasn't a lesson in your school. The organization Planned Parenthood teaching teenagers at a California high school to choose their gender. They're using this genderbread person, kind of a takeoff on the cookie, to do it. And the sex ed class doesn't stop there yet. But is that really Planned Parenthood's business, teaching your kids about the birds and the bees? Join us right now, Fox News contributor Dr. Robert Jeffress down in Dallas. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning.
All right, so somebody's got to teach the kids about birds and bees. In many families, it's the family, it's the parents. In some situations, my kids learned about it through their high school education. It's just part of the curriculum. But you say having kids learn from Planned Parenthood is a very bad idea.
It really is. Look, the multitude of parents out there are trying to communicate to their children the Judeo-Christian principle that sex is a gift from God reserved for the marriage relationship. And no parent should have to worry that those values are being undermined by Planned Parenthood at a local school. Look, Planned Parenthood is an organization that gets its money from the government, $500 million last year, by doing two things. Promoting promiscuity among children like this program and performing abortions, 300,000 last year. Planned Parenthood should be no more welcomed on a local school campus than the local pervert wrapped in a raincoat. Both endanger the well-being of our children.
I was just looking on the Planned Parenthood website talking about how, if you know, for Planned Parenthood and education on sex, and one of the things are, why abstinence-only programs don't work. That flies in the face of your particular message. Also, these are, we've got from a questionnaire some of the questions you're supposed to ask as if you're consenting for sex. For instance, do you want to go back to my place? Is it okay if I take off my pants? Doctor, these are things that are on a questionnaire for 13-year-old kids.
That's right, and talking to 13-year-old girls about water-based lubricants. Look, here's the liberal mindset. The liberal mindset is, we're going to indoctrinate your children in promiscuity. If you want to teach your children differently, you can do that at home. We are conservative parents. We're in the majority. We ought to rise up and say, no, if we are going to talk about sex in the school, we're going to talk about the only safe sex is sex that follows God's principle of sex within marriage. If you want to teach your children differently, differently, you can do that in your home.
Sure. The parents, many of them apparently did not consent to have their children taught by Planned Parenthood, which, you know, it's not a government agency. It's an organization. And as you depicted earlier, that's what you feel they stand for. But okay, so parents weren't asked about whether or not it was okay. But now they've said, now that they found out, doctor, that this particular high school has Planned Parenthood doing the sex ed, they said, you know what, we'd like you to come and present to us what you're telling our kids. And so far, they won't do it.
No, they don't want to do it. And you know what they say is, here's the liberal life strategy. Well, you can always opt out of a class like this.
Right.
No teenager, no child should have to opt out and be ostracized and be labeled a prude. We shouldn't be teaching these kind of liberal values in the school. When Planned Parenthood starts talking about water-based lubricants to 13 and 14-year-olds, they are giving their implicit approval for sex outside marriage. And look, if a child, a 13-year-old guy, is saying, do I listen to my parents or do I listen to Planned Parenthood, guess who the child and his raging hormones are going to listen to? This is totally out of place in the school.
All right. Doctor, thank you very much for joining us today from Dallas.
Thank you.
Okay, now this isn't about that Planned Parenthood issue. This is about the way socialists operate in your lives. This is what this is about now. Now, I could take off on this and make a program out of this. You understand? So I don't want you to get caught up in just this issue. But this is recent. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, what was our kids being taught? Fear. Duck and cover. Okay, kids, today we're going to have a little bomb exercise or something. And they sound an alarm or something in the schools, and everybody jump on their desk. Now, is that causing fear or what? Sure is. All through the 50s and 60s. That's what it's all about. And that part about Planned Parenthood. You know, when America was operating under the principles of biblical Christianity, it rose the highest point of any civilization on earth is allowed to. But we, by design, have abandoned these roots and didn't. It began to fall from its place of economic and moral leadership. But this is by design. The essence of the biblical Christianity, its ideas, are the basic fabric of the U.S. Constitution. But it was done that way that people would accept it, knowing very well the U.S. Constitution was going to be subverted the day it was signed. But they needed that to galvanize us, to say the right things, make it look like the facade that we're actually doing it. I'm taking things a step further here, you understand? So they did place ultimate value on life and liberty as a catch. Individuals are important. Individuals. And we know that everyone has inalienable rights that come from our Creator, so you make it hide. You hide the despotic government so they won't know it. You know, the traditional family was established by monogamous heterosexual parents, lovingly passed these truths to their offspring. That's the vital building block of any moral civilization. So then to stop it, you start attacking the offspring. Little by little, every generation. You know, John Dewey said, humanist and the father of American education, religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Jocelyn Elders, U.S. Surgeon General, back in the 90s, she said, and I quote, "We need to speak out to tell people that sex is good, sex is wonderful. It's a normal part of, healthy part of our being, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual," unquote. That's 1990s. Jocelyn Elders also said, "Give me the choice of trying to educate a 3-year-old about sex or trying to educate an 18-year-old, I'll take the 3-year-old every time." You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, back in the 90s, based her report on the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights and a previous court opinion stated that the federal government should lower the age of sexual consent to 12 and legalize prostitution. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 1990s, she said, and I quote, "Prostitution as a consensual act between adults is arguably within the zone of privacy protected by recent constitutional decisions," unquote. Christine Gibby, Clinton's appointee as AIDS czar, said America has a sex problem. Quote, "America needs to view human sexuality as a essentially important and pleasurable thing. If we don't, we will continue to be a repressed Victorian society that misrepresents information, denies sexuality early, denies homosexual sexuality, particularly in teens, and leaves people abandoned with no place to go. I can help just a little bit in my job as AIDS czar. Standing on the White House lawn, talking about sex with no lighting bolts falling on my head." Then he had Roberta Auchenberg, another lesbian in the Clinton administration, said, and I quote, about the Boy Scouts of America. Quote, "Do we want children learning the values of an organization that provides character building exclusively for straight, God-fearing male children?" Unquote. That's why they're going after the Boy Scouts now. Like dozens more quotes, research. I didn't have the actual pamphlet, but I had a report of the pamphlet that was about a textbook about sex in California. Trying to teach your children about sex in California. Of very young kids. It was very explicit. This is the part of changing every generation to head toward the humanist manifesto, starting with the baby boomers, period. By design. Right under your very noses. And it leads us up to another agenda they have called death education. Your death education, people aren't aware that your children in school have been going under death education, go back to the 70s, 80s, before that. Pupils have taken it. Also are unaware because they believe they're in a creative writing or similar type project. If you ask children such questions as, "Have you ever done a grave rubbing or written your epitaph on obituary?" you probably expect an answer of yes. Some will have visited mortuaries and graveyards, lain in the bottom of an open grave, or observed part of an embalming procedure, even touched a dead body at a funeral home. How about pissing the frog? How about the skull and bones that lay in the coffin and tell their secrets? You know, the overt justification is everyone will be at some corner, some time encountered emotional impact of death due to some death of a loved one, a relative, or whatever, close associate. And you know, the funeral home industry has been exposed by a number of talk shows, taking advantage of a grief-stricken relative. So, the public, by the school, the children must be educated about this prospect. It leads up to acceptance of euthanasia by children. already taken place in Belgium. Authority was given in London or England. A judge gave a woman authority to, because of severe disabilities, that her child could die. Except the problem was it took them 14 days to kill the kid. And they're working on it here in America. And it will pass in Oregon and Texas. Y'all be swamping in Oregon. Somebody with the clout and the abilities knows the legal system should find out what the status of this death education criteria is going to go through, or the bill or whatever. They got to get it passed, like same-sex marriage, in a couple of states. Then it becomes like a bonfire. They're sneaky. In the eyes of futurists, the neglectful home fails to prepare the child for these eventualities. Find out they're being taught because y'all working. Because you have to. They got both men and women working. Then the feminist movement to divide the families. That was the purpose of it. Divide the families, you destroy the country. That was the purpose of feminism. I got all this documented. Every bit of it. This is what the round table talks about in their meetings. The round table consists of the Bilderbergs, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, United Nations representatives, Council of Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is equivalent to CFR, and the Gorbachev Foundation. That's what they talk about. The projects, the organizations they've set up, the foundations, the training, and with milestones and objectives. Little by little. And they'll plan ahead to their next generation to complete what they're doing that day. So they want to control the whole person of the child. So they've taken over the role. Yet death education and thanatology, that came into existence around the government schools without any parental or community input or knowledge. So if these globalists would have their way of zero population programs, they can guarantee everyone will experience some contact with death. One way or another. Because you know, as I've said many times, humanistic values, the Humanist Manifesto, the One Worlders, they have a low regard for human life in all respects. And you know what? The public, and particularly parents of school children, you got to remember that effectual teaching of this child, he only learns the thesis, but also the antithesis, the opposite. He just doesn't learn some single precept of some kind, even though they have one view taught, maybe. But teachers are guilty of forgetting this also. It's for this reason that a lot of sincere teachers are unaware of their participation in globalist behavior modification. If they call them on it, they'll fire them. Or threaten them. When they present all both sides of an argument, they employ behavior modification. So in good consciousness, these Christian patriotic teachers, the good teachers, will protest against these attacks on public education as being unfounded. But it's not happening. Because teachers are fear of their job. The reason star or Freemason. Or just apathetic. Different reasons. You know, a child is taught about overpopulation in the current events class, for example. And abortion in the science unit. He writes his obituary in creative writing. He's involved in a various classification process in psychology. Gets into a survival game. Blood game. Survivalist. TV. Sound familiar? Role plays as a global architect in a model United Nations program. He's forced in home economics instead of auto shop to change his gender roles. On. And this is not, I'm not overstepping here. I'm telling you exactly what they do. So the child's coming up with a complete globalist mindset. So the teacher then deals only with a segment of the child's schedule. That teacher is unaware that a unit or lesson, his curriculum, contributed to teaching of a hidden agenda, buried in a total education program of the child. So a lot of teachers won't know. So, now that you have teachers, society has been programmed to accept humanist manifesto, the values that comes from this new interdisciplinary and interdepartmental emphasis is being pushed and pushed hard. And be used to speed up the cloning of upcoming generations of humanists in our areas. So what you have, and it just kind of comes together, some of the groups behind death education. Imagine this, and I have not planned this to happen, but my other research confirms that some of the groups behind death education is Planned Parenthood. Cremation Association America. Euthanasia Education Council, and the National Funeral Directors Association. They help textbook publishers put out books for this program right under your noses. You had U.S. Senator Zirinsky back in the 80s. He testified before the Senate Subcommittee on Education. He said such courses, Living with Dying, insinuated that a belief in a life after death was unrealistic, had caused school children to experience nightmares and even physical distress because of fixation caused by death education courses. That's what he said. And he had Barbara Morris. She had a booklet called Religion of Humanism in Public Schools. She said that death education caused a conflict for children that came from homes that stress traditional moral values. And you know these courses, the children are confronted. Each questions are, for example, how often do you think about your own death? Number two, if you could choose, when would you die? Number three, when you think of your own death, how do you feel? Yeah. Number four, how often have you seriously contemplated committing suicide? If you were to commit suicide, what method would you probably use? And when is suicide justifiable? What? Yep, that's a question in this course. You know, this teaching fits very well with the plans of the globalists. The globalists have locked themselves into a Malthusian kind of theory of surplus population and limited resources. So unless something's, well, probably has gone overboard now. You know, the world has about 4.5 billion people. They keep saying 6 or 7 billion. Depends what decade you get it from. But the globalists believe it must contain only 2.5 billion by the year 2000. They were planning this back in 83. So the world, they want people to believe, is facing a population problem. But it's not overpopulation. But what it is population distribution. Now we, in the United States, I'm sorry to tell you, we are a dying nation. People have reached the end of the eight steps. Apathy, selfishness. Everybody? No. But the culture as a whole, yes. And don't tell me no. How about Black Friday? You got those riots for TVs. Can you imagine if they're hungry for food? You know, the problem is compounded by controlling social pressure from families, for prayer families, to have fewer or no children. You know, we're not producing enough children to replace them ourselves. And that's done by design. HPV vaccine, that HPV vaccine is used to sterilize. It's not there to HPV for cervical cancer. It's not what it's for. It's to sterilize. That's what I want to get to young boys. To slow down or impede any birth they may have in their later years by design. You know, lifestyles require both spouses to work as well as feminist programs add to the part to reduce family size into population control. And in addition, the diverse or alternate lifestyles of homosexuality is another unobtrusive population control method. Homosexual marriage do not produce children, and this is sexual preferences increased by recruitment. What they use to bring people in. We're about to end here. I'll finish it up tomorrow. I do want to remind you, we're played up at highportradio.net. Highportradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, Kirkler. Highportradio.net, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And also, he plays our randomly plays our broadcast of Bible studies on a regular basis. My website is watchforjesus.com. My Facebook is watchforjesus. Family, I hit you a whole lot of stuff today. A whole bunch of stuff. The whole idea was not to inundate you with facts of history, which I did. But the whole idea is to see the whole picture of how they operate and to give you specifics to be able to see it. Now, I have the archives of this up this afternoon, this evening, probably. But I know I probably made your head spin tonight, this afternoon. But you got to know how complicated this situation is. But family, they lose. They still have not won, and they won't win. This is a supernatural war we're into. Jesus already won to cross Calvary. And this is what it all boils down to. Man's going to try to fix it himself. When he should be praying first, as we've got in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is supernatural. And that is the answer. In Ephesians 6, put on all armor of God on you. It is supernatural. Demonic influence, channeling, possession is real. But man will exhaust every means that man has, then finally he'll go to God. That's unfortunately how it works. Y'all have a good night and seek the Lord. Let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. And don't wait around. Because he's coming back soon. And whether it's a post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, whatever, it don't make much difference because you're not going to know anyway. It's just be ready now, and you won't have to worry about it. Save a lot of time in discussing it. Y'all have a good night. God bless you all. Thank you all for putting up with me this afternoon. Tonight, Bible study 8 to 9. Tomorrow, 4 to 6, we'll complete the death education discussion and more about their techniques, their methods, how they operate. And we'll move right on into the weekend. And we'll do the same thing Monday. We'll keep going. New information each time. Old information to put in perspective. And new information, which is new information. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. It's your watchman, Tom Gamble, signing off.